Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Live. Wake up, Hollywood. Eddie Pence, Nikhil Kawula is in traffic, so I'm here with our guest, who's also our guest host at the moment, John Huck.
Yes, hi.
Do you want some applause?
Something.
There you go, that's cool. Oh, now do you?
Yeah.
Oh, there we are. Yeah. Now you're on.
Oh, was I not on before?
You're not on.
Oh, hi. Well, it's good to be here.
John Huck, everybody.
You couldn't hear me over the clapping and the yelling.
It was craziness. Yeah. Absolute craziness.
Yeah.
So,
I like how you said, wake up Hollywood. It's 8 o'clock at night. Who's sleeping besides?
Most people.
Are sleeping?
Don't most people in Hollywood sleep late?
Till 8 o'clock at night?
I'm saying I would if I didn't have a kid.
Oh, okay.
I would probably be asleep right
you
now.
You probably would.
And wake up for the nightlife.
That's not good, though. That's a sign of depression.
It is. It really is a sign of depression. It really is.
Yeah. We just get too real?
So what have you been doing? Like, you were actually the first guest we ever had on this show.
Yeah, you wanted, like, since then, what have I been doing?
Since what have you done? It's been a year and a half.
I've been waiting for you guys to call and have me back on.
Was it a long wait? Did it feel like a year and a half?
It didn't really feel like. I think my beard got gray.
Are you sure? Yeah, around the cheeks.
Yeah.
It's a little gray.
Yeah.
It's a little gray.
Got white beard. How long I've been waiting.
You should be called white beard from now on.
I don't know if I should be called that
Are
from
you
now
sure?
on. I don't want to be called anything with beard in the title.
Mm. This is going well.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It's going real well.
You know, I have a very successful podcast. Oh, who's this?
I don't know. It's a sound clip. You do have your own. What is your podcast called?
Oh, it's called Hollywood Anonymous.
Hollywood Anonymous on the All Things Comedy Network.
All Things Comedy Network online. You can find that.
You can follow them at Hollywood Anon.
At Hollywood
at
Anani.
Hollywood Anani.
Yeah. I co-host that with Brian Irwin. But we've noticed that guests who show up overprepared are usually not as good as the guests who just come in to chat.
Right.
You know? That's kind of
that's what, probably not what's happening
so,
right now.
Well, no, but I was going to say, like, I didn't bring notes in, but I think we could just be able to chat. Like,
we can chat.
Or did we ruin it? We were stuck in traffic together. Did we talk about everything there was to talk about?
I think, you told me about your Halloween story.
Yeah,
I got a great Halloween story.
That's a lot of fun.
There's a poor Uber driver out there that really...
There's a couple things.
That's probably going to be the shittiest thing to do on Halloween is be an Uber driver.
Here's the deal. I think if you do it right and you can make a lot of money on those particular, like Halloween and St. Patty's Day, because you're doing so many runs.
The rates go up, though, right?
The rates go up. They'll like triple, quadruple things, and like you have no choice but to accept it. So,
Do you remember what the route was from your house?
We didn't hit surge times at all.
You didn't hit surge times.
No,
on Halloween?
So we went out super early.
Wow.
We got to the bar on Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and. And when we got there was barely anybody there. So we were partying there, and then when we left, everyone was already like at the bar, and then we got to my house, and then the Uber driver was just right in the area. We live in Hollywood, so it was like...
Wow.
And my biggest fear was getting home, and we got very lucky.
What did I miss?
Nikhil's here.
Hello, John
Nikhil,
Huck.
How are you, man? What's
Our
happening?
Our first guest is
yeah.
back.
Eddie was asking me.
There it is.
Eddie was just asking me what I've been doing since I was on the show last, and I was telling him about my Halloween this weekend.
Well, tell us
that's all he
what happened. Is that it?
Well, no, me and my fiance is super good at Halloween. She she picks out our costumes.
Yeah, you guys had killer costumes last year.
Yeah,
the
we
Teen
went
Wolf
Teen
thing.
Wolf and Styles at prom. That was really good.
That was sweet.
That was probably the best Halloween costume I've ever worn.
Yeah.
It just looked like it could have been...
Like movie style?
Yeah, and if you got too close, it's like a B movie. But from a distance, it looked like I was Teen Wolf. Like,
wow.
It looked legit.
That's awesome.
And I had the white suit and everything, and she went as Styles, his friend, you know. It's
did
like
you,
she
did you howl all night long?
Dude, I howl no matter if I'm dressed as Teen Wolf or not. big fan of Wolfman Jack. But we went this year. We went as Claire Standish and John Bender from Breakfast Club.
Oh, nice!
But I was Molly Classic. Ringwald. And
you were Molly Ringwald,
yeah, and she was John Bender, Judd Nelson. And we went out Friday night to the Magic Castle, and I was like, "Oh, we should go to that sushi place." And the Magic Castle, which, by the way, if you can get in on Halloween weekend, is an amazing time.
Really?
Oh,
I love
man.
Going there.
How'd you guys get in on Halloween?
My friend Rob Zabrecki is a performer there. He does in the seance room. He is very talented. Like, I used to poo-poo magic. Like, yeah,
I know,
yeah,
it's the shit.
You're a step above a mime. You're a piece of turd. You know what I mean? I was like very negative toward magic. And after working on a couple of hidden camera shows that involve basically magic, and meeting magicians that way. And then talking to guys like Rob Zabrecki, like, and seeing them perform and what they do, it's very impressive.
Would you say it's magical?
I would say it's magical. What I love, though, is there was an Australian guy there who did his thing and then was like, yeah, of course it's sleight of hand. There's no magic. I mean, what are you insane?
Like, not a wizard.
It was okay. It was just very straightforward and very honest. But
well, I went to the, I've been there once and I saw like, because you can go in there, you can choose which magic show you want to go to, right?
Yeah, you can wander around and go into a bunch of different ones. Like, they have different showings of each show.
Like, I regret not going to, like, the close-up magic where you
that's the best one.
Yeah, that's supposed to be the best one, but I didn't know at the time.
Only, like, six seats or something. Like,
yeah, it's the
seats.
Smallest room.
But it's supposed to be, like, the best show.
Yeah.
Because I went to the one that was, like, the big one. Like, the big room.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't as impressive because it almost seemed like the open mic of magician shows.
Well, you might have been there on a night when it was like, okay, we're going to give you 5 minutes up there.
Well, I saw the guy take his shoe off and he pulled a bottle out of his shoe, but I saw him have the bottle in his hand when he was putting his hand in his shoe to grab the bottle. Like, it was like really bad.
Oh,
like,
there are better magicians than that.
He took his shoe off and he's like, and then he wouldn't put his hand in the shoe and pull the bottle of, like, you know, like liquor out, but you could see the bottle of liquor in his hand as he was putting his.
Yeah, I thought I caught a guy doing something with chips going from one hand to the other, and I thought I saw him like, well, he's just got the same amount of chips in the other hand. He's hiding them.
But like, you realize going there and see those shows, like, there is different levels. Like, there are like guys working on stuff. Like, when you go to a comedy club, you see people working on a joke.
I mean, you have to try out. I mean, that's, you know what? That's a good point. I mean, I guess you do those tricks. The difference is you can practice those tricks alone.
Yeah.
As often and get the trick down.
Yeah.
With comedy, you have to tell that joke on a stage. Yeah. Otherwise, you're never going to know how the audience is going to react.
But at the same time, with magic, you can rehearse it, but you still don't have that same performance energy as when people are watching you.
Feeling you're doing it live. Yeah.
The best trick I saw at the Magic Castle was a guy, and he tied himself in a straitjacket, and he took two eggs in his hands. And when he came out of the straitjacket, he had two live chickens.
That's pretty good.
And he was like, dude, how the hell did that happen?
He's
got warm hands.
He just incubated them. Yeah. The Maybe. Human incubator.
So, John, what else have you been up to? You were on our show almost a year and a half ago.
Yeah, I'm just getting older and fatter.
How do you like the new studio? You and me both.
I like it, man. I like it. It looks good.
How's your knee?
Nice view. It's still jacked up.
Did you get the x-rays back?
Got an x-ray that now my doctor's telling me I should have an MRI.
Ooh.
So it's never good. It's never good. I don't know,
There's
man.
There's a dirty joke in there somewhere.
No, I wish. I was just, I was literally on a treadmill one day and I was like, oh, man, that feels tight. And then I kneeled down later that afternoon.
Because you Tebow all the time?
Yeah, I was Tebowing, yeah. I was like, Jason Tebow?
Tebow?
I dropped down to one
Five
knee.
5 years later,
and
I've been Tebowing?
And I pray quickly on a regular basis for simple things. I didn't stub my toe, Tebow. And then when I stood up, I was like, oh, really hurt. And I looked, and it was all swollen. And
oh, wow.
And I've dislocated that knee a couple times, and you know, when you're younger, you're too cool for school.
Dude, that's
you don't
what
do
happens
the physical
when you get old.
Therapy, and then
sucks
catches up with you. So I kind of thought it was that, but the doctor's like, it was just it was swollen in a weird place. So, you know,
I was like walking down the stairs in like the middle of the night last night, and a friend of mine was hanging out, and I didn't see like the last stair.
Oh, that's the worst.
Dude, I fell right on my knees, and for a split second, I think I saw Jesus. I was like, oh my God, oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
Just like chills went up my whole body for a split second. It was like,
just whatever your body does when it misses a stair walking down is like them always. If you didn't fall, that falling to your knees is probably the least awkward you could look.
Yes.
Because otherwise your body just does this full like,
full like Gumby action.
Your leg spazzes out and you're all kind of all over the place.
Your leg bends the back way.
Everyone's like, hey, are you doing a Jim Carrey impression? No, I missed the last
step. It was bad. It was bad. But you know what? Like I took like probably about 40 seconds and then I got back up and it was just like, man, if I was 9 years old, I would have just got up right away. But there's just this moment where you're like, am I okay? Yeah, everything's cool. Everything's cool. All right, cool. Everything works.
You got to do an inventory there on all your bones. Make sure nothing's cracked, fractured, sprained, or dislocated.
Yeah.
No. It's getting old. That's what my comedy's becoming. I'm talking about being old.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like most of your jokes have now.
Like how old I am.
When I first met John, it's 15 years ago now.
It was all cocaine. It was all cocaine jokes.
And blackout stories.
Yeah, and pooping myself.
And sweaty and
disgusting sex.
And now it's just morphed into.
I'm old. My back hurts. Yeah. I got a fiance. Boo. I can barely drink without getting a hangover. That's what makes my nose hurt.
Dude, sometimes if I drive for more than 20 minutes, it takes me a good 15 paces just to be like, oh, yeah. This is okay. Everything's good. Everything's good.
That's how I walk again.
This is how I walk.
Just adjusting the mirrors constantly.
It's strange. It's so strange because you take that for granted in your early 30s.
Yeah. But part of me, I joke about it, but I don't think I'm really that upset about being older. You know what I mean? I don't think I'm not looking to relive my 20s or anything.
No,
and
you know what? The funny thing is, my Halloween was the first time. I was handing out candy to kids. I stayed in. I watched a scary movie at night. I was and I was so content. I was like, man, this is crazy.
I think I feel like I'd be closer to that on Halloween if I didn't have a fiance who was so into it. You know what I mean? Who was just we're going to have costumes and we're going out. It's like,
you're fianced to someone 10 years younger than
me. Yeah, she's younger than me, so that's part of it. But am I going to still be 50 going I got to go out for Halloween?
I'm going to put this suit back on.
Yeah, you're going to wear this. I'm like, I can't wear that. I got to wear a muumuu or a judge's robe.
And nothing's going to go with this cane.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'll be a pimp.
With the four prongs on it. What pimp has a cane
tennis
with four
balls on the end of those, too? This. Like, how much traction do you need?
What's different about the Magic Castle during Halloween?
Dude, they make it. First of all, the costumes are mandatory. Like everyone going there, you can't get in without a costume, which is fantastic. So that you know you're not going to be
the only one,
and you.
Unlike when you went for dinner earlier that night,
yeah, and that's what we did. We
when you were the only
we,
one.
As we're getting dressed, I'm like, I'm going to call Yamashiro. It's the sushi joint above.
I love that spot.
Yeah, it's great.
It's the best.
It's got that outdoor
panoramic
place. You can see the city. It's beautiful, right? I was like, oh, we'll have a nice romantic Halloween. Well, I'm dressed as Molly Ringwald, and you're dressed as Judd Nelson. And we went to the restaurant, and on the way there in the Uber, I'm like, the Uber guy gave me a look like,
really?
All right, buddy.
All right.
Like Halloween's tomorrow, and I'm like,
check
thinking,
out
like,
this wise
but
time.
It's Halloween weekend, so people have got to know we're going to be dressing up. And I'm like, where to the restaurant? I'm like, well, if the mandatory costumes for Magic Castle, people at Yamashiro are probably going to the Magic Castle. They'll also be in costume. We're not going to look like idiots. And nobody at Yamashiro was going to Magic Castle at all. So we were the only ones in costume, and we just walked in there, and they sat us. And I part of me thinks that people were like, don't say nice costume in case that guy thinks he's a woman. Do you know what I mean? Like,
only in Hollywood.
Everyone is so sensitive now that it's like I was waiting for someone to go, you look very nice tonight. Like,
you look lovely.
Thank you. Yeah. These boots are hurting my shoes. I even dyed, you can't tell from the pictures, but I even dyed my beard to match my wig.
Wow. Dude, that is commitment.
That's not my commitment. That's
Claire
Nicole
Standish's
said.
Commitment.
Well, I ran out of candy in typical fashion, rookie status.
Well, you were handing it out or putting it out?
I was handing it out. Okay. Handing
it out.
Putting
it in my mouth.
And I ran to the grocery store and I was fully the only one dressed like a pirate, you know. So I was just like in the aisles, like, and like you don't really like you don't take it in until you start seeing people like snickering or laughing
or someone going, you're like, "Did we call the police?"
Oh,
like,
"I gotta pillage all the candy." A ridiculous
There's an
pirate
actual pirate here.
This guy could have taken a ship. Yeah, I buy one giant bag of candy. I take out a bunch of stuff I like, and I literally give the rest to Eddie's kid.
Yeah, four years in a row now.
His kid comes over, I just dump the whole bag into his bowl, and I'm like, there you go.
That's awesome.
I should have taken more candy for myself. I finished the candy I kept.
Oh, yeah, you probably should have, because we have so much freaking candy.
You know what? I'll just, are you guys going? Yeah, you'll probably go out of town soon. I'll watch your apartment, and then.
So much freaking
candy. Eddie, tell us about taking Colton on his trip.
San Fran.
We were up in San Francisco. We took him out. It was fun.
What did you think? You were like,
they walked
San Francisco,
up there.
They have lots of candy.
He's. Cousins are up there.
Candy, so that's where candy's made.
Did it all. It was just, you know, kids. And
that's a pretty treacherous way to trick or treat. There's a lot of hills in San Francisco.
It wasn't the city. It was in Nevada, which is a little north.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it was a flat area. It was a flat area. But, like, we have, like, he got so much. Because Colton's, like, a pro trick or treater. Like, his two cousins are, one's his age, the other one's younger. And they're kind of, like, hesitant because they've only been trick or treating, like, once or whatever. But, like, we've had Colton out, like, this is his third year in a row trick or treating. And he just, like, runs to the door. He's like, "Follow me. Trick or treat!" Like, just, like, pound it. And, like, there'll be, like, no light on at the house. Like, the obvious sign of, like, we don't have candy.
Oh, yeah. Why do you let him run up to houses with no light?
We don't. He's just going for houses. He's running up, like, banging. Like, "Colton, no. No, they don't want." So he's just like, "Trick or treat!" And then, like, I told him the trick or treat, smell my feet. Give me something good to eat.
Yeah.
If you don't,
I don't care. I'll pull down your underwear or whatever.
Right, yeah, that's it.
And that's, like, the... When you teach a kid that,
you're talking about pulling down underwear. It's not going anywhere for a long time.
But it's when a kid hears that the first time, you don't realize how funny that is until you hear it for the first time. And he thinks it's the funniest thing.
He's not wrong. I mean, because they're taking in the visual.
Yeah.
We're taking in rhyming words as adults.
Yeah.
And he's like pulling down someone's pants because they don't have any candy.
He's like, "Trick or treat, smell my feet." And he's trying to lift his leg up. I'm like, "What? No."
Yeah.
What did he dress up as? A Jedi?
He was Luke Skywalker. Oh, I was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's right.
Tracy was Han Solo.
Nicely done.
It's a nice little family.
Gender bender.
Yeah. Well, you pulled it. Well, you pulled the Claire Standish.
But I look good.
Except you're kind of insinuating that Obi-Wan and Han had a little thing for each other. You know what I mean?
Obi-Wan and Han? They probably did. Probably all kinds of themes of Star Wars we got to get into.
I'm sure.
And you just stayed home, huh? What scary movie did you watch?
I watched, what's the name of that movie? Paranormal Activity.
Uh-huh.
Which one?
The Marked Ones. The most recent one. Dude, it was intense. That movie just gets me. Like, I don't know what it is, because it's filmed like a reality show, so it seems like it's kind of real. But, dude.
Did you see the newest ones in the theater right now?
Crimson Peak?
Ghost Dimension or whatever?
No, I saw Crimson Peak and it was not scary.
A Paranormal Activity movie, though.
No, I haven't. Oh, Ghost Dimension is the new one that's out?
It's Paranormal Activity, Ghost Dimension. It's out right now, was out over Halloween.
That's pretty crazy. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see
it. You don't like scary movies?
I don't really go to see scary movies.
Why?
I don't enjoy them.
At all?
No, not really.
You don't get a rush from them?
No, nothing? Not really. No.
You, John?
Tim? I like certain genres of horror. Like every Halloween, I'm going to watch probably two to four
I don't mind the
Halloween
old, like,
movies.
I don't mind like Halloween or Friday the 13th. Yeah, like the old slasher films.
Yeah, those are old classics.
But like the paranormal, like, I don't know. It doesn't
Nightmare on Elm Street, I like.
No, that's a classic. I saw that during the day and it gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, it's a good one, man. And I do like Friday the 13th marathons because when you get to like... The first three are great, and then you get you get to Manhattan
or in space.
Yeah. Oh my God, Jason 10, the Uber Jason. It is one of my favorite. Like when I first saw it, I was because that came out in 2000. I was like, "Oh, this is awesome!" And you watch it now, and you're like, "Is that plastic? Is he wearing a zipped up sport jacket? Like the outfit that he comes out of the futuristic frozen space thing it's laughable, but it's amazing. It's Kane Hodder, dude. Kane Hodder was in the eighth one. Have you ever seen? There's a documentary on YouTube. I think it's called Jason, and it's about all the guys who've played Jason Voorhees.
How many people have played Jason Voorhees?
There's like
five
eight.
Or six or something.
There's
right?
like more than that. There's really? like it's like There's like guys in there like Timothy Dalton you forget about, and you're like,
Timothy Dalton?
No.
Like,
I'm just
what?
Talking about like James Bond.
James Bond played.
Who was,
he was the worst Bond.
Who was the one.
But the best Jason Voorhees.
Do stop. Do come back.
Please, don't run so fast.
Please, I'm out of breath.
I limp. I limp so.
I'm just remembering this. There was one guy who did, I think he was in the seventh. He was in the seventh one, because the eighth one was Jason Takes Manhattan, right?
Yeah.
And then they asked him if he wanted to be in another one, and he was like, nah. What's the one he ran? Was that the fifth one? He was like, nah, I don't want to. And then they interviewed him again in this thing, and he was like, yeah, it's probably the biggest regret I have as an actor. I didn't really do too much after that. Those movies went on to be.
Why wouldn't you take that job?
Well, to me, it's like,
take every gig.
Well, first of all, but if you're worried about being recognized as the, you're wearing a mask the whole movie.
Totally.
The make no one's gonna know who you are. You can't be typecast.
That's an easy paycheck.
And it's easy.
You're not even acting. You're walking around.
This guy was a little bit older than the other guys who played Jason, so maybe he was like 45, 50 going,
I don't have it in me.
Yeah, fuck this. You're not. Well, I can say, oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. He was like, you were timid.
I got a little nervous because I see talk radio, so I'm just like, okay. But
you slipped.
I can see how you're running in the mud. You're dealing with teenagers all day. It's like,
come on. That's not a terrible job, dude.
Nah, but I mean, I can see if you're older, like your back hurts and shit. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Got a bad knee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got to kneel down a lot.
I was going to play a murderous lumberjack in somebody's short film, and then they found out I couldn't run.
You'd be perfect for that.
They found out I couldn't run past the camera. I had to limp. And they were like, yeah, we can't use you.
Like, when was this?
It was a couple weeks ago.
Wait, you couldn't limp?
No, they didn't want to limp. They wanted some dude to jet past the camera. And I'm like, can we fake that somehow? Because I can't really run. And they were like, we need someone to run for like a good couple hundred yards. And I was like, oh, yeah.
You're like, I can't do that.
I won't
that.
Be running.
A couple hundred yards.
You can't run a couple hundred yards.
Not,
you're on the treadmill, right?
No, my knee was all jacked up at the time.
Oh.
Now I could probably. I was on a treadmill today. It still kind of hurts, but.
You should call them and say, I'm available if you need me.
Yeah, it was like one of those non-paid gigs. I wasn't too worried about it.
It's not a big regret, like Jason Voorhees guy.
Yeah, right. It's like, I watch it go to Sundance. I'm
it's
like,
the least. It's, you're interviewing you. This is the least regrettable thing I've ever done.
It's the literally, I forgot about it until you brought it up.
Well, Eddie told me that you got a role on Jane Lynch's new show on CBS.
I got a guest starring spot there on Angel from Hell, which is going to, I guess, premiere in February.
Very nice. Very nice.
What a kind audience you have. A
really loud audience, too. They clap really hard.
But then they get real quiet.
Real quick.
So,
just like, silence!
Yeah, they really know their. It's an audience that knows its place.
Yep, that's right.
So that show you actually had, they actually gave you more lines and more days.
They did. It was a one to two line part, and it would have shot for one day. And then there was a reference to my character later in the script, and I'm not sure what happened at the table read, but everyone had a really good time, and everybody was super nice, and the writers were there. And by the time it all was said and done, they had given me six, seven lines, and then I shot for 3 days on the show.
That's great. That's so awesome.
And they could not have asked, like, because I've never really done a guest starring spot before on a sitcom like that. And I, you know, everyone was just the nicest. Like, Jane Lynch is great. Maggie Lawson, Kevin Pollak was amazing.
What's the premise for the show? I've seen billboards for it.
Jane Lynch is either she's an angel or a street person. She's not really sure. And she is Maggie Lawson's guardian angel. She feels like she's there to look out for her. And Maggie Lawson doesn't know if she's insane.
She's just a crazy person.
Or, yeah.
Is it a single camera or like for their camera? Or
they did. They have multiple cameras.
But it's not a studio audience thing,
no,
right?
No studio audience. Yeah. But I think they were doing the multiple cameras to save time.
And there's probably a lot of improvising
there,
with Jane Lynch.
They were loose about everything.
Yeah.
You had to do certain things. You know, you had to say the lines.
You had to hit certain things, yeah.
Yeah, and then they gave me a lot of alt lines that ended up being pretty funny. But there, I didn't notice a lot of, like, they were all pretty much sticking to the script, you know what I mean? And they weren't taking a lot of time. They were moving very quickly, you know what I mean? So it was like they'd get the shot. And the nice thing was the director of the episode was a guy who has directed me before years and years and years ago on Frank TV. Jake Karras. So I already kind of knew him, and he's a super nice guy, and we get along. So
I think they'll have you back.
I mean, you know, the idea is that, yeah, hopefully, because it was me and Deborah Wilson and man, he's going to kill me. I can't remember his name.
Just don't tell him about this show.
We played these. Hey, listen to the show I don't mention you on. We play like her street friends. So we're a group of weirdos. Like, my name is School Bus. I don't know. We're this group of weirdos, but we're these people that are like her friends. So hopefully that there becomes spots for us to come back, because it seemed like everyone enjoyed having us there.
Was it shot? Was it on the Fox lot?
It was shot at Paramount, which could not be more convenient for me. I just moved right next door to Paramount about 6 months ago.
Dude, I live right near Paramount. We'll talk about that later.
What's your exact address?
I give out my address. Come by. My girlfriend's alone right now.
We have lots of candy.
We have no candy. I'm no disgusting, candy. And I ate it all. We have no beer left.
Left all the Whoppers. Thank you.
I drank all the rum.
Yeah, you and Eddie do a lot of Taco Bell runs. Tell me about this.
After
comedy shows? Is that the deal?
Here's something in my life that I'm trying to get control of. Did you ever have the friend that would, like, do anything for a laugh, you know what I mean? And then it's great when you're younger, but then as you get older, you're like, dude,
I don't want this role.
Take it down a notch, you know? And when I'm in Illinois, when I go home to Illinois, I have friends who, it doesn't matter what I've been through that day, at the end of the day, no matter how drunk I am, especially if I'm drunk, they're going to take me to White Castle. And when we get to White Castle, the expectation is that I get at least one Crave case, which is 36 White Castle hamburgers.
Oh my God.
In a cardboard
That's
briefcase.
Gnarly.
A cardboard fucking briefcase full of White Castle. Now,
never even heard of such a
thing. I'll be in a car with, like, my friend Chris and my friend Paul and maybe my friend Mike. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 people in the car, 36 burgers. They won't even really eat any. They'll just, like, nibble on one, but my friend Chris will keep handing them to me. And if I'm drunk enough, I finish them in 2 bites.
Wow.
And then I just keep doing that, and I swallow them down, and they're gone. And then the rest of them...
36 burgers?
No, I don't eat a whole 36, but I'll eat a good 15, 16, and then when we get to where we're going, we get out of the car and start throwing them at each other. So they end up just like, if I have a rented car, they end up smashed under the windshield wipers and up in the, you know, the visors, and it's a huge mess, but... I think the same thing has started to happen with Taco Bell and Eddie Pence. Like, when we go out, it's like, no one has said they're really hungry. No one's like, how sometimes when, like, you're with a group of people at, like, a certain time, so, oh, man, shit, I got to eat, man, I'm hungry. And then that goes on for, like, a couple hours, and then everyone's starving, so you all go to, like, a diner and eat normal food.
Yeah, right. Like normal people, and tip somebody. And
right.
Eat one
yeah. Oh, I got a tip for the Taco Bell people. Watch out. I'm coming back for you. Tim will record. My buddy Tim will be with us. Like, maybe it even comes from me. I don't know. But
it kind of all started like 5 years ago at Slow Fest.
It started at a comedy festival. Well, no, to be honest, I've been eating Taco Bell since high school.
But like me,
and I've been like a drunk slob since high school.
Our Taco Bell connection started about 5 years
ago.
And it was just sort of, we had the saying TB on me.
Well, I went to a comedy festival with Eddie, and I didn't drink almost the whole time because he doesn't drink, and I was not drinking at the time. Then the last night, I got blacked out, like just went for it. And the whole time I was like, I think he'd given me money or paid for something or whatever. And I was like, we were walking 2 miles home from the show to the hotel. And I was like, look, when we'll go to the Taco Bell, I'm buying. Whatever you want, I'm buying. TB on me. TB on
those
me.
Those words have lived in infamy.
Yeah, and then the cut to like him ordering 3 tacos and then me getting like $30 worth of me laid out on the hotel bed in underwear
gross.
Just like
it was
eating.
Tacos all over the bed. So gross.
Yeah, and it started from that. And like I said, because he doesn't drink, we'll go out. And he's driving, so I'm like, yeah, I'm going to have a few 19 beers because I don't have to drive.
And I'm driving, I'm like, TB on anyone?
And that's the thing. You say it once, and I'm like, huh? So yeah, you can check those pictures out on Instagram.
Follow my Instagram. There's a couple pictures of
grocery bags full of Taco Bell. Or do you mix it up?
I mix it. I mean, we are all aware that
at some point in your life, you have to go through a Taco Bell drive-thru at 2 a.m. with John Huck.
You got to mix it up. But it's all the same shit.
It's all right.
It's a Jim Gaffigan joke. It's cheese, beef, onions, tomato.
Just folded in different
shell,
ways.
Shell, with a fold, but hard, soft.
To watch him go through the list of the menu is just...
Because I'll do like a Mexican pizza and a Crunchwrap Supreme are basically the same thing.
Right.
But I'll get one of each.
But he'll keep saying stuff. And you're like, okay, well, that's probably... And then he just keeps going.
And I never thought of it that way. You think that after a certain point, I'm done.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And you're ready to pull forward.
And he just keeps listing food off the menu. Instead of just getting like, give me three burritos and four tacos, it's like one of each thing off the menu.
But then I'll get like three hard shell tacos, three soft shell tacos, Crunchwrap Supreme.
Maximel.
I like the...
need a Taco Bell endorsement for you guys.
Oh, my God. Look, if I was sponsored by Taco Bell, I'd be dead. That'd be like being sponsored by cocaine in my 20s. Like, oh, how did he die? Well, this company here was paying for everything.
Are you still doing stand-up, I assume?
Oh, yeah.
So tell us where you've been performing.
Well, obviously nowhere. My career's going so well that you have to ask me if I'm still doing it.
It's all over the place.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Now that you got the TV show, I'm like, well,
I did 1 week's worth of work. I'm going to forget about everything. I'm retiring, everybody. I'm out of show business.
You can see John and I tomorrow night at Madhouse Comedy Club.
Where's that?
San Diego.
San Diego.
Oh, nice.
Wales, Virginia.
And yes, then on Thursday night, we're in Bakersfield for a charity event.
We are rocking all the hot spots.
Hey, San Diego's a hot spot.
No, San Diego's a hot spot. Bakersfield's a hot
spot.
Too.
It's like hot. It's literally
115 fucking degrees.
During the winter.
Yeah, no, I do stand up as much as I can, man. I love doing stand up. I don't get paid very much. I don't get booked on all the shows I want to get booked at. I don't do nearly as much road work as I'd like to be doing, but for the most part, I still love it.
Well, on this network, nobody's heard any of your stuff. Can we play something of yours?
Sure, of course.
And you got something on cue?
Yeah, we got something here.
Well, what do we got?
What do we discuss?
You want me to set up?
I pushed the button.
We'll do the Mermaid's Delight.
Ah.
Let's do it.
It's got 3,864 views.
Which is a lot for me, actually.
3,865 now.
Here we go. Mermaid's Delight.
I don't need to set this up, do I?
Do you?
No.
All right, here we
go. Not a movie clip.
This is going to sound kind of made up, but it's totally true. I would never lie to you guys. I was walking along the beach the other day by myself, minding my own business, and I came across a mermaid that had washed up on shore. I know, right? I didn't believe in him either. And then, bam, there's a mermaid right in front of me. First thought, what are the odds of a guy like me ever getting to have sex with a mermaid? And I don't know if this show is about me or not, but I don't know shit about math. So I can't calculate odds. So I just went ahead and had sex with the mermaid. And I was done quickly because I had a lot of meetings to get to that day. And or a Walker Texas Ranger marathon, I don't know. But as I was getting dressed, I was looking over at the mermaid, and I'm realizing something is off. At this point, I'm realizing that the bottom half of the mermaid is dolphin, and the top half is dolphin. Oops. Fucked a dolphin. So, if you guys go scuba diving in the Pacific Ocean anytime soon and see a dolphin with a red beard.
Very nice. Very nice.
And the crowd keeps going.
Yeah, they love you. They love you.
That's a hot joke I've been telling for a good 35 years now.
Yeah. They all feel that way.
That's not true, is it?
It's been a while. It's been a while, yeah. But I can't remember if it ended up on my CD, so I think it's going to be on my next CD.
Wait, you've been telling this joke for 35 years and you haven't put it out on a record yet?
Well, first of all, I haven't been doing comedy for 35 years, but thank you.
Hey, you're the one that said it, man.
I only have one CD out, and it came out in 2011, I think.
Ish.
So I got to go back and listen to what's on there.
How do comedians plan that?
Plan what?
Like, how do you plan a record? Because you have to have the
I think
audience.
Your first one, you just sort of take everything you've got that feels a funny 45 to 50 minutes.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, you're...
Do they tape you at every comedy club?
No, you're I mean, some do, but no, you're responsible for doing all that kind of stuff on your own, like getting taping yourself, and then if you're going to put together a CD, I think, unless someone's backing you and giving you money, you're responsible for for doing that yourself. But I think the funny thing is about, and this is with any comedy CD, but maybe not any comedy CD, because mine, maybe I put it out before I was ready. I don't think so, but that was the best stuff I had that filled an hour.
Right.
And actually, I think my CD is only 45 minutes. But it was funny stuff that I'd been telling for a long time, and I knew that I was ready to kind of move on from it anyway. So I was like, okay, which you can still use. Like, I didn't burn the material. I'm not, you know, Louis C.K. or anything. I can still do those jokes if I want to. But I had felt like when I was recording that I was changing as a person and as a comedian. So like all the cocaine and stuff, all those jokes about alcohol, all that stuff was, I was kind of coming out of that and moving on to different things and realizing that if I wanted to be like, yeah, a lot of stuff I say on stage is a joke, but I also want it to be truthful to myself and who I am and like my situation and what's going on and my life. And
like the dolphin joke.
Like the dolphin joke is a perfect example of something not made up at all and completely real. But so with that, I wanted to kind of get away from that material because I felt like a fraud. Hey, is it hot in here? Am I just chubby and coked up? Like, well, no, I'm not. And I've lost weight. So now we've got this weird thing where I feel
but
like
it is
a liar.
Hot in here, but that's because I'm old.
But that's because I'm old. Now my back hurts. But that is, honestly, like I've just been dealing with a lot of that, just this age stuff. So that's why that's in there. And I've toned it down. I've toned it back. Like what happens is I'll write like 15 minutes of like this one topic and I'll be like, oh yeah. And then I'll realize that two of those minutes are actually funny. And those 2 minutes will stay in my set, you know what I mean?
For 35 years.
For 35 years, which is, I think, the amount of time that a good comic should tell jokes before they move on. That's how you really know. Try something for 35 years. If it doesn't get a laugh, then get rid of it.
What sucks is when you have, like, a bit, and it's a good bit, but then, like, you start writing other stuff, and you're like, well, that bit would go good with inside of these other bits.
Yeah, which I have no, like... If you're not talking about putting it on a CD, doing that live is fine.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's another piece of who you are. And even if it's something you wrote 10, 15 years ago, like Mitch Hedberg put out two out. He goes, this was on my last album too, but I added something to it.
Yeah.
And with Mitch, he added two words. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was enough to put it back on another CD. Also, he's Mitch Hedberg and he can do whatever the fuck he wanted, you know?
Right.
But I don't think that if an old joke you have all of a sudden like
fits in the context of a whole
and
new
builds out and gets you a bigger laugh and fills out a better story or whatever, then by all means, like, bring it back in, because the whole thing is, well, you want to grow as an artist, you also want to entertain these people and you want them to laugh, and if you've found a way to kind of do both, then more power to you.
I have so much more respect for comedians after doing this show, because I've learned from Eddie and some of our guests, like, you know, as a musician, you get to sit in a room and you work out songs and you kind of work out your stuff and then you rehearse it with the band and then you get more input and you kind of, that's where you hone it there.
But if you make a mistake on stage, you have a band to help you cover it up.
Yep. But with comedy, you can't really work out stuff beforehand and know if it's good or not.
I mean, you could try it on your friends. You could say, like, hey, do you guys think this is funny? In my opinion, if it makes you and your friends laugh, you should try it at least a couple times on stage.
Right.
But that's also finding your voice when you're even just starting out and for years, you're still like, you know, I would tell jokes that I would come off stage and people were like, hey, you know, that seemed a little harsh for you. And it was like, yeah, you know, I probably could have just not used the C word, or I could have taken this out, or and sure enough, it like fit with more of my personality, because I'm not I don't make fun of people in the audience. I don't.
Right, right.
I'm not super like sexually aggressive about stuff. I don't.
Thank God.
You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this, because you're both comedians. Like, do you know when you go do a show with like several comedians, who's going to be heckling the audience? You must know. Like, okay, just, that guy. He usually heckles people.
Oh, you mean comics who are going to talk to the audience? Yeah. I mean, yeah, because the ones who are good at it. They're known for it, like the Ian Baggs and the Jeff Garcias. And
and the ones that are good at it don't ruin it for the comic coming up after them.
Yeah, that's it. If you followed Ian Bagg for whatever reason, like he's not going to walk the audience making fun of them.
He's going to be hard to follow because he's amazing.
He's going to be hard to follow because the audience, when he's done, feels like they were part of the – they all feel like they were part of the show.
Right.
They weren't just spectators. He brings them all in, and he makes them all feel important. Even the ones he doesn't talk to feel like they were in the middle of the whole thing. Then I come on with like a, hey – wow, the weather's crazy, everybody.
Stop looking at me, everybody. Why is everybody looking? Just stop looking at me.
I don't, because me, I don't want to talk to the crowd. I mean, I want to talk at the crowd, but I can't get...
Stop engaging me, everyone.
Please don't talk to me. Look away.
But there's like good comics that can go up and do crowd work, and then you can follow them, and you can still have a good set because they haven't berated the crowd. It's not an aggressive thing.
It's what they do to get the laughs, and they do it so that people feel involved. It's
like, as an audience member, when I go to a comedy club, I know my friends are like, oh man, I hope he doesn't pick on me for the shirt, or like, or
most comics don't want it. Most comics don't want to talk to the audience. They just want to get them to do their. They want the audience to laugh at their jokes. There might be a couple comics that start their set off by just like.
But I love when they heckle the drunks in the audience.
Well,
that's like, hey, you're leaving yourself wide open.
Well,
if drunk people start it, they get what's coming to them.
If they're messing up the show, you have to call it out.
No, I love it.
And I'll ignore that as long as possible. But if it's clearly ruining the show for other audience members, then that person needs to go.
But Laugh Factory, they're pretty strict about it now.
Most like good clubs police the room.
Yeah.
Most good clubs will police the room.
Because they don't want that, because it
ruins
the show.
It's
bad for business. It pisses the comics off, and then it pisses the audience off.
But there are some clubs where you'll just like,
let it go.
You guys not even paying attention?
I did a show in Malta, Montana. This is by far not a comedy club. It's a hole in the wall bar.
I'm just kidding.
Malta, Montana is 24 minutes from the Canadian border in Montana, and it is a small town to say the least. But we got there. I was with Marty Lacquadera, who is hilarious. I don't know if you know him or not, but he's this little tough guy from Boston. He's like, these fucking guys.
Who fucking cares?
Yeah, so we go into this place, and it's like a nice bar. It's the middle of the day, you know. It's like 3 p.m. We just get into town. A nice, decent, kind of big bar. Stage, like, okay, great. Owner comes out and he's like, yeah, well, you know, okay, so this is where you go up, you know, and you can hang out over by the corner of the bar or wherever you want. There's no real green room or whatever. We're like, okay. He's like, I encourage heckling. And I was like, wait, what? He's like, yeah, we encourage it here. I go, why do you do that? Because you're professional, you should handle it. And in my head, I was like, if I was a professional that could handle it, I'd be making more money playing a real fucking show, not at your dirt hole in Malta, Montana. I was so mad. And then I was like, okay, so my whole thing was like, because I don't do crowd work and I didn't want to deal with hecklers, I figured I had to pick out two people at least that I could fuck with.
And just totally level them.
That would be okay with it.
Right.
And think it was funny and not get... Because in towns like that, sometimes like, you know, people don't like the comedian because women laugh at the comedian. And I'm not trying to fuck anybody's wife or girlfriend, but if somebody's like coming up and talking to me, I'm going to talk to them because I'm a human being.
Right.
So I've had a couple of guys, hey, talking to my girlfriend. I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to whoever's talking to me. I'm not like trying to pick up women at all, believe me. So I went on stage and I saw there were these two guys dressed in all camo. They'd just been hunting all day. And as soon as I got on stage, I go, where are you guys from? And they were like, we're from Minnesota. And I went to school in northern Wisconsin.
Right.
I'm from Illinois. Spent a lot of time in Minnesota. And I've found that within those three states, as much sports rivalry as there is, as there has been or is now, the people are very similar. And the same with Michigan. It's a very Midwestern, how you doing? I'm not looking to be a dick, you know what I mean? There are obviously assholes everywhere, but it's just more of a Midwestern. So when, as soon as they said Minnesota, I made the jackalope is a thing that I was like, what are you fucking idiots out hunting jackalope all day? And everyone turned to them and laughed at them, and they were dying. They were laughing, slapping the bar, and they were like, yeah, we might have gotten one. I go, yeah, you did. And they just fucking... And that was it. They were like, I had them, and then the audience kind of like, if anything came up, I would go to these guys as like a thing. And I did my half hour of whatever. We maybe were co-headlining, so I did 45 minutes. And Marty was going on after me. And we the hotel was a, like a Norman, it was a dump run by a lunatic. I couldn't even lay on the, I was like, we're not staying here. We're going to drive the 24 hours back to LA tonight. And Marty agreed with me. And Marty doesn't drink. So I was drinking on stage. And then I did my minutes. And as soon as I got off, I talked about getting high or weed or something. So these guys were like, hey, you want to get high? So I'm like, yeah. So I go outside with them and I end up in a car. We drive away. I end up at a house. I go inside. It's like a high school party. There's like like young kids everywhere. And I was
Is Marty still on stage?
Marty's on stage now doing his time. And I'm like, so I hang out for very limited time. I smoke some of their weed, you know, and then I'm like, well, I'm going to get going. And then I just walked back to the, Marty called me. He's like, where are you? And I gave him the address and he pulled up. He goes, get in. And I got in and we just took off. Because the way it was set up was a triple run. We had to go up to Malta to get the money for the whole run. Because Malta was so far out of the way that if you would have paid us
bail on that
for the rest of it, we would have been like, goodbye. Yeah. Like, and he knows that. Triple knows that. So he's like, you got to go to Malta to get your money. I'm like, oh my God, oh you my son God. Of a bitch.
It must have been a nice drive.
So that was it's beautiful awesome. Up there. Oh my God. But at the same time, when you're trying to drive home 3 in the morning,
you're
and
like, God, I don't see any
so
of this.
So our triple one wasn't the only time you refused to sleep. Oh. At accommodations.
Wait, dude, why? No. I can't do that. That's crazy.
What, refuse to sleep somewhere?
Yeah.
Dude, I need Have you it. Seen these planes?
Oh, we
well, dude, everybody are you kidding me? I'm a musician, of course. We're human I've beings. Slept in the armpits of America.
Yeah, no, we can't. I can't. Like, that hotel and then this thing that me and... I would have stayed at the hotel only because at least you're inside your own room and it's private. Ed, they tried to put us up at a house with a dude that lived there.
What?
And it was like July, so it was like a
hot as shit.
No air condition. There was just blankets laying over
top. We were told he wouldn't be there. And when we get there, the dude's in the living room, like, under a blanket.
In boxer shorts and a t-shirt.
What?
He's like, yeah, you guys will sleep up here. I'm like, the fuck we will. We ended up fucking splitting a Motel like, 6 or something.
No, we drove 17 hours back. Did we drive back? LA. 17 hours back.
That was when we had the Chrysler Concorde, though.
From Oregon.
That is heavy. Comedians, you guys have it rough, too.
Well, those are some rare...
That's like, where I was now doing the friggin' like, good
How did time, you agree to that? Pub. Wait a minute. Wait, it's kind of your fault, though, too. How did you think, we'll stay here. This will be all right.
No, we didn't.
It's part of the accommodations the club.
He gives you the accommodations room. As you get to each place, and it's like, go to the club. They give you the hotel info, then you go. We get to this place, like you're staying at a guy's house. We're
it's
like,
the
what?
Band house.
It's the band house. We're like, what? It's like where the band stay. I'm like, what? So we go. He's like, he's not there. So we go there. He's there. So I'm like, are you gonna? You're here. He's like, yeah, I'm in town. We're like,
and it's like hotter.
And it's
inside
hot. It's
than
a small
outside.
House. It's like, and fuck that. No way, dude. I'm not staying with. I don't even like shitting in hotel rooms that I'm in with other people. I'm not going to shit at some weird dude's house.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, it was so bad.
That show was terrible, too. That's like, I
Eddie wanted to get off stage like 20 minutes in.
Because this is a crowd. There's like 5, 10, 15 people, maybe tops. And they were just, they didn't want
to. None of them wanted to see comedy.
John had done his 30 minutes.
Nobody liked it, and nobody wanted to see any more
I got
comedy.
Up. I was 30 minutes in. They were 30 minutes way done. They were done with John, and they didn't want
to
see
me. They were done before that show started. They just wanted to drink and be left alone to their miserable lives.
So I wrapped up at 30 minutes, and then the manager comes out, and she's like, points to her watch, and I'm like, I have to do another 15 minutes after I did my closer, because I thought we were done.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, so she's like, you got to do your time. And Eddie was like, why?
I was like, no one wants
to see this. So he was like up there for another 15 minutes, just like,
just riffing.
Just give me my money. I guess.
Yeah. What do you do then? Because I know comedians like
you
they
just
have
talk
it, like,
about whatever.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
whoever.
At that point, it was just a. It didn't. Wasn't. No one wanted to hear anything funny, so he didn't have to be funny. It was just doing a filibuster.
I could have been Richard Pryor up there, and no one.
And they would have been like, "We're trying to watch a game."
I was like, "Would you mind? Could you stop talking, please?
I'm trying to eat these wings."
Well, let's play one more clip of John before we sign off. What are you gonna play us, Eddie?
Let's see. We will play Dad Anger.
Oh. Sorry, John.
That's
I'm
going
to hit you. I tried
here we
to
go.
Set
Dad
down.
Anger.
Fairly kids? That's the proper response. Yeah. No. Most people are like, I've never had a crowd yell out, no, have a bunch of them, weirdo. I'm not anti-child. I don't hate kids. I just don't think kids are right for me. I had a girlfriend 2 months into a relationship, like, hey, what do you think about kids? I was like, no, I don't want kids. And she goes, well, no, not now. And I said, no, not ever. Because I'm super mature. But she got real serious. She's like, you don't want kids. What are you going to do when you're 50? And I looked at her and I said, whatever I want. How does that sound? Maybe read a book, maybe drink a beer, maybe travel, maybe not pay for college for some turd I barely like. All I'm saying is I'll have options, that's all. But I think the real reason I don't want kids is that I have a legitimate fear of dad anger. Dad anger is a real disease that affects 99.9% of all men with children. I know it's real because I've seen it firsthand. 7 years old, watching my dad in the kitchen, getting into a fight. A physical altercation with a piece of individually wrapped American cheese. It just got worse and worse. Like, God, cheese, God, cheese, God damn it. Rips it in half, throws it on the ground, storms out of the kitchen. I'm 7. I'm like, he hates cheese. I don't want to be an adult if I can't love cheese. And as I got older and wiser, I realized that that wasn't about cheese at all. That piece of cheese represented my father's dreams. And his hands represented what me and my brother had done to them. Could have been a National Geographic photographer. Got kids! And I want to love cheese forever, so I'm not going to have kids. Guys, you guys have been fantastic.
Job well done. Job well done. John Huck, what the Huck? Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JONHUCK. You can find all my stand-up dates at johnhuck.me. Again, JONHUCK.
Kind of narcissistic.
I'm on Facebook, John Huck 1, John Huck Comedian. I'm on Instagram at John_Huck. And at Hollywood Anani is the podcast Twitter account. And yeah, Hollywood Anonymous podcast on All Things Comedy Network. And,
so what about your social networks?
So where can we?
At John. Sorry.
But if you're in San Diego tomorrow night, come check us out. Madhouse.
Yeah. One more time. Where are you guys playing?
Madhouse Comedy.
Madhouse Comedy.
8 p.m. show.
8 p.m. So. Be there or be square.
John, thanks for doing the show.
Hey,
again.
Thanks
John?
For having me on again, guys.
We'll have to have you on.
What
in
a reunion!
Another year.
Another year and a half. I'll be back.
You'll be dead.
By probably. That time, we're
I'll be buried
the
under
beast.
A sea of Taco Bell.
At the rate you're aging, you'll be dead.
And the opposite of Benjamin Buttons.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. We'll see you next week.